Mariners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and happy Lent and fruitful and graceful season of this Lenten season. Hopefully it'll be the best Lent ever and the happiest Easter ever.
Amen. Although I know we were talking a little bit about the happy Lent thing this morning. I don't know if that's such a good thing, but I get it. I get it. We'll talk more about that today.
Excuse my Latin smile.
Yeah, there you go. But we'll be talking more about Ash Wednesday and Lent as the show progresses. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for some 40 years now. We can't thank you enough and just ask you to continue to do what you can. If you want to sponsor this show, there's two ways to do it. You can give Maureen a call. I hear 610, I was going to give the number for the retreat house, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, but don't call today. Unfortunately, Maureen couldn't make it in today. Has some things going on at home. So, but if you, like I said, if you want to sponsor this show, give Maureen a call, or you can go to the Our House Ministries website. It's all spelled out, ourhouseministries.org. And if you go to the donate page, there's a button there you can press if you want to sponsor one of our shows. We'd certainly appreciate it. Speaking of which, Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website, or again, give Maureen a call here at In His Sign, and she can put you in touch with Father or I. The Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church is open most Tuesdays and Thursdays. We did close it yesterday due to the weather, but most Tuesdays and Thursdays it's open from roughly 9 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. On Tuesdays, there's adoration from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, followed by the Matt Talbot prayers and benediction. And on Thursdays at 4 o'clock, group gets together and prays the rosary. You're more than welcome to come and join us for either of those. We had a great retreat out at Malvern this past weekend with Father Celso and the Divine Will folks. But there is Kathleen's retreat that's coming up February 23rd to the 25th. She'll be there with Father Dermot Roche. Father McKay will probably be in and out on that weekend. And I believe the title of it is Rekindle the Fire. You can register online at malvernretreat.com. That's malvernretreat.com. Or call the retreat house at 610-644-0400. Speaking of retreats, we'll be kicking off the solicitations for my men's weekend. The Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Group, we're out at Malvern August 16th to the 18th this year. The retreat director will be Father Bryce Lundgren. He'll be flying in from Wyoming. You may recall we had him on in a 5 o'clock hour about a year ago. He wrote a book called The Catholic Cowboy Way, and after having him on the radio, I reached out to him, and he agreed to make the trip to the East Coast to do our retreat in August. Again, you can register for that one online as well, malvernretreat.com, or call the retreat house. Also, speaking of the retreat house, I'm going to be joined at 5 o'clock today by another good friend, Michael Norton, the current president of the retreat house, and we'll be talking all things Malvern and retreats, so you'll want to stick around for that as well. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization, Matt being one of the patrons of this show. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe,
pray for us.
St. Valentine,
pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels,
pray for us.
And all the saints and angels,
pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. And also, Ken, if we can just pray a Hail Mary for Pat Real, Kelly's mother, for the repose of her soul. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Eternal rest grant to Patricia, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon her. May she and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right. We were in the sixth week of Ordinary Time until yesterday. And, of course, today is February 14th, which means it's Valentine's Day and also Ash Wednesday. And I had shown Father a meme, and apparently he had gotten a copy of it from Patrick. But you can't have Valentine without Lent. So Lent being the middle four letters of Valentine. So I had gotten a copy of the same meme from my good buddy Paul. So today we celebrate not only Ash Wednesday, but also St. Valentine's Day. Earlier in the week, Sunday, if it hadn't been the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time, it would have been we would have celebrated Our Lady of Lourdes. If today wasn't Ash Wednesday, we'd be celebrating St. Cyril and Methodius. And on Saturday the 17th, we'll celebrate the seven holy founders of the Servite Order. So, beings, today is Ash Wednesday, and we are focusing on Ash Wednesday and Lent. We thought we would start with the Gospel from Mass today. So the Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 6 and 16 to 18. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in synagogues and in the streets, to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance, so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden, and your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And we had an opportunity today on Wednesdays at the ministry. We have a contemplative prayer hour where we read the Gospel a few times and comment on it. They have a couple opportunities to comment on it. And we're talking about this one this morning. And, of course, for the next 46 days or so, we will be in Lent. And, of course, that the tripod that we will talk about today being prayer, almsgiving, and fasting, and that can take all different forms. There's no particular way that it's right or wrong, and that we're all called to do it. I heard a commentator in a podcast today saying that, you know, Lent's that time of year where we're set aside to truly become or grow in our discipleship of Jesus Christ. And it's through these things, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, that I think we truly become disciples. And the more time that we can especially spend in prayer, that we can grow closer to Him. I think with the fasting, especially for those of us that are in recovery from addictions, you know, the addiction, whatever it was that we were addicted to, you know, we say was only a symptom of a deeper spiritual, always a spiritual problem, sometimes physical and emotional as well. But, you know, especially that spiritual issue. And so fasting may come harder for those of us that were addicted. In some cases, it may come easier because we're, you know, that I could easily say I'm giving up alcohol for Lent, even though I've already given it up for, you know, 30 plus years. But it gives us an opportunity to tame some of our other instincts or other natural gifts that God has given us, you know, the desire for food, the desire for any number of things, that during this Lenten season we take an opportunity to keep it in check, and by doing that we can grow in virtue. And so you know, multiple opportunities over the course of the next six weeks or so to move closer to God. And you know, Father and I will have a little back and forth talking about it. If you have a particular experience or something you want to share about for this Lenten season, you can give us a call at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. Father?
Yeah, you know, like you were saying, Ken, about the tripod. You know, a tripod has three legs. You take one off and it collapses. But, you know, the three of them makes it firm. And as you were talking, I just had an insight about almsgiving, praying, and fasting. You know, Jesus says when you pray, when you give alms, when you fast, that He expects us to be doing it. And the insight I had was the example that He gives to us. You know, He was always giving alms, giving Himself. You know, and the thought was from... You know, He fasted for 40 days. You see Him going out of His way to that quiet place just to pray. And He's always giving Himself, giving the truths of salvation. But the insight that hit me was the cross, Ken, when He was on the cross. Look at the alms He gave. It wasn't gold and silver that He gave, you know, to purchase us and buy our souls back from Satan himself. But it was His precious body and blood. I mean, what greater alms is that to give yourself? And then praying, you know, praying on the cross, you know, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. My God, why have you forsaken me? And even fasting, like He wasn't eating or drinking there after the Last Supper, and it was like, I thirst. So what a wonderful example He gives to us right there from the cross, that He's the greatest alms giver, the greatest prayer, the greatest faster that we'll ever read about. And He gives us the example to give alms, to pray, and to fast, and to put these together. And then He tells us, you know, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, and that when you pray, wash your face, or when you fast, wash your face, and when you pray, go to your room, your inner room, and shut your door. And then He says this is so important, and do it hiddenly. And what the Father sees that is hidden, He will repay you. Like the Father owes us anything. But it's the debt. You know, Jesus is putting the Father in our debt. That when we do these three, almsgiving, prayer, and fasting, and we do it hiddenly, and we're hidden, that the reward is the Father Himself. There's the promise. There's the debt. That Jesus Christ won that for us from the cross to open the way home to come to the Father. And I was saying that today about, it's all about the Mass. It's all about going to the Father, that this great price that Jesus pays for us, you know, He opens the way. He takes our sins and our guilt and our shame, destroys death itself, and eternal life with the Father, that He brings us in communion with the Father, that He's always speaking about the Father. I mean, so many times. I mean, this whole topic is about the kingdom of God going home to the Father. But there it is. It's all about, Ken, going to the Father. And, you know, we don't have to wait till we die to be with the Father. And when Jesus offers himself on the cross, he offers us too. And that precious blood wipes away all the sins and the guilt and the shame and purifies us and makes us redeemed and holy. And our hearts are pure at that point. And now we're ready for Holy Communion to receive the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's no greater prayer than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It's also that banquet where we come home and we feast at that wedding table with our humanity, with his divinity. We become one with God our Father. I was just thinking, Ken, that, you know, Lent, you know, pray and fasting and giving ourselves, you know, it's for a purpose. You know, it's not for nothing. It's to open the way up that we can truly be with our Heavenly Father now in this life and forevermore. That whoever holds to my commandments, my Father and I will come to, and I will reveal myself. And boy, what a revelation, Ken. He reveals his love, his presence, his peace, his joy, and his Father.
Amen. One of the things I've been doing, but focusing more, what, you know, this Lent, is a book called The Hours of the Passion. And you know, those that listen on the last Wednesday of the month in the 5 o'clock hour when we talk about the gift of the divine will and Louisa Picaretta, her confessor Saint Honorable de Francia had taken Louisa's writings and written a book on the hours of the Passion, and it's pretty profound. You know, you were talking earlier today, Father, about the, you know, the cross and the hour I've been reading for the last 2 weeks has been the 16th hour, which was the scourging. And, you know, I think by the time the scourging was over, Jesus couldn't wait to get to the cross. That the cross, you know, not that it wasn't, you know, a horrible way to die, but after having the guys beat him with, you know, ropes and then tearing up his flesh with the hooks on chains and what have you, you know, I think this is Lent is a great time to really, you know, think about what it is that God has done for us. That you know, when we finally get up to Good Friday, you know, hopefully we realize how much God really truly loves us. That He was willing to go to the lengths that He did, not only during, you know, the 3 years of His public ministry where He was healing people, and you know, a lot of folks we know, ourselves included, have been watching The Chosen, and you know, the one episode where, you know, from sun up to sundown, even after sundown, Jesus is tending the people that came to see him. And so, you know, I think if we really try to understand what it is that Jesus was willing to do for us, to do all that he did in his public ministry, and, you know, in theory that may have been enough, but when that was over, to finally give up his life, and not just give it up by, you know, having his head cut off like a lot of the martyrs, or in some shape or form that was quick and relatively easy compared to the 24 hours that he went through, beginning with the Last Supper and, you know, ending when he's eventually laid in the tomb some 24 hours later. You look at that, and you can't help but know how much God loves us, that he was willing to go through all that in order to open the gates of heaven for each and every one of us.
Yeah, you know, what you were saying about the cross, that, you know, after the being lacerated and scourged, that he went for that cross. And three times he would fall down. He would kept going after that cross. But it wasn't a piece of wood that he was going for. It was in that cross that he saw you and me, Ken, and every one of us. That's what he wanted. He wanted our souls, and he gave that. So when you were talking about the cross, I was just thinking about, you know, when he was in the agony in the garden, he was petrified, sweated blood. He was scared. You know, he says, Abba, you know, Daddy. Father, we use it. Father, take this cup away, but not my will, your will be done. But when you put the word Abba there, you know, it's like, Daddy, don't let them hurt me. But whatever you want, whatever your will is. And I used to look at it, Ken. I'm saying, I would look at the martyrs, and they would go to their deaths rejoicing, fearless. They weren't afraid. They were at peace, and they were anxious to die for Christ. And here he is in the agony garden, like petrified. And I'm saying, Lord, why is it that you were so afraid and your martyrs weren't? And I could hear him say to me, Ken, that there is where I took your fear. I took the anxieties. I took all the sins of the world to myself so that you would be free from them, free to love, free to come home with me. You know, but the cross, it's so powerful. The cross of Jesus, you know, one cross plus three nails equals four given, forgiven. And there was one thing you said too, Ken, you were talking about what love that he had to lay down his life. You made me think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And today's Valentine's Day, Ken, and somebody had sent me a paper of those words that were written out. And down the exact middle where they had it was spelled out the word Valentine. Valentine. For God so loved, and the word love is V, that he gave, the A in gave, his only, L in only, begotten, the E in the begotten, son, the N, that, whoever, the T, believe in him, the I in, should not, the end, and then, but have eternal life, that E. It was spelled out Valentine. You know, think about it, Ken. There's no greater Valentine than the Sacred Heart of Jesus, who gives us his heart this Valentine's Day, that we may live with him forever in heaven, in the peace and the joy of God's, the Father's, eternal children. So it's a happy Valentine's Day as well as a blessed, fruitful Lent.
Amen. You know, we're talking about the 46 days or so that we'll have, and, you know, in order to grow closer to Christ, another commentator I was listening to last night on my way home was saying, if you really want to get to know Christ, you know, there's no better way to do it than to read the Gospels. And in particular, he gave a reading list for the Gospels of Matthew and John, which there's 28 chapters in Matthew and 21 chapters in John for a total of 49. And if you start today and go to Easter, it's 47 days. So towards the end, he doubles up John 15 and 16 and then John 17 and 18. But if you read one chapter a day from Matthew and John, you'll read both Gospels between now and Easter. I thought that was pretty interesting. And, you know, if folks are still looking for something to do, maybe a different way to pray, certainly you can pray with the Gospels and try doing Matthew and John one chapter a day from now to Easter.
Yeah, one chapter a day will keep the devil away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's right there, the good news of salvation, the gospel, that we drink that. And as you know, Ken, you can read a certain passage, I don't know, even 50, 60, 70 times, and then one day it just comes alive. It's like real. You know, it just burns your heart. The Word of God didn't change, but we change. But he's always speaking to us in his Word. You know, we have to put ourselves in there, put our name in there. When he speaks to someone, you know, put Douglas or Ken in there, because the Word of God is really personal. It's a letter from God the Father to each and every one of us. So right on, Ken, about getting more deeply into the Word of God, because it is dynamic. It's alive. You know, you can read the newspaper, and that the bad news, it informs you. But the Word of God is the good news that transforms you. Gospel living. It's all there in the Word of God and traditions of our church.
Yeah, we were also, when I was listening last night, talking about fasting. And, you know, I guess ever since we were little kids, when Ash Wednesday would roll around, we'd probably get asked in class or, you know, told that we had to give something up for Lent. And you know, this whole idea of fasting and when and where it started, and talked about it last night, and going back as far as the Desert Fathers and the Eastern Church, where, you know, they had, and I'm probably not pronouncing this right, but it was xerophagy, xerophagy, where the only thing that they would eat for during Lent was raw and dry fruit and vegetables. So, you know, no meat, no dairy, no olive oil, no alcohol, no nothing except for fruits and veggies, whether they were raw or dried. And I don't think I'm quite there yet, but it was interesting to listen to how fasting has evolved over the centuries. And hopefully most people know today that, you know, that that there is fasting. That's, it really is under the pain of sin, that if you're able to, you know, on Ash Wednesday and the Fridays in Lent, there it's no meat. And then Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, if I have it right, are days of fasting. The other Fridays are days of abstinence, but on the days of fasting where you can have one meal, and then the other two should not equal that one meal. But for those that are looking to grow in the spiritual life, of course, Father, we know people that fast all year round. Fasting has kind of come into vogue now with intermittent fasting, and people using it in order to trim down and maybe lose some weight. But, you know, this notion of fasting has been going on for a couple thousand years, and if not longer, and with the idea that, you know, we again, that we tame those natural desires, natural instincts that God gave us that sometimes we let run out of control.
Yeah. Well, whether you eat or drink, Ken, do all for the honor and glory of God. That's number one. And everything else will fall into place. When you were talking about fasting, you know, we fast not just for nothing, but, you know, we strengthen our will. And it's in the will that we love God, you know. We have the intellect, the memory, and the will. And the will is where we love God, and we come in communion with God through the will. So when we deny ourselves of anything, I'm really strengthening my will to come closer and closer to God. But I know we're coming to the bottom of the hour soon, are we, Ken?
Yes, another minute.
Let me just end with this little sort of like a saying about a season for fasting and a season for feasting. So when we fast, it's really to feast. So fast from judging others. Feast on Christ living in them. Fast from harsh words. Feast on gentle words. Fast from complaining. Feast on gratitude. Fast from anger. Feast on peace. Fast from pessimism. Feast on optimism. Fast from worry. Feast on trust. Fast from revenge. Feast on forgiveness. Fast from selfishness. Feast on generosity. Fast from discouragement. Feast on hope. Fast from facts that depress. Feast on facts that uplift. Fast from lying. Feast on truth. Fast from thoughts that weaken. Feast on promises that inspire. Fast from noise. Feast on silence. Fast from hate. Feast on love. Fast from sin. Feast on grace. Fast from worldliness. Feast on the kingdom of God. So fasting brings us into feasting. Feasting in the presence and the gifts of God himself, Ken.
Amen. That brings us to the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, if God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to share it with our listeners, please give us a call, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906, or toll-free, 888 303-243-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Again, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. And thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. We're currently in the middle of February. I think it's on March 9th, Father. We'll be celebrating our 9th anniversary on Wednesdays. Of doing this show. It's hard to believe it's been that long, 9 years through the liturgical cycle, and we wouldn't be able to do this if it weren't for the listeners and their great support. You there, Father? Father McKay. Oh, we lost him somehow or other. Oh, all right. If anybody can hear us, give us a shout, 610-527-2906. It looks like we may have an internet issue here on our end. In the meantime, I'm just going to keep going like everything is normal. Hopefully Father will if the internet's down, we use internet phone here, so we may not be able to call back in. Anyhow, we want to, again, praise and thank God for you. We're happy Valentine's Day, certainly, here on this February 14th, which happens to also fall on Ash Wednesday this year. The first segment we've been talking about, Ash Wednesday and Lent and the practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And hopefully you've already given that some thought. If not, it's not too late. Today's day one, and it's never too late to get started. As far as is that odd or is that God, I had something interesting that happened on Friday. We were over a friend's house. It's somebody I know that we meet once in a while, actually every morning. To talk about the divine will and the cenacle that we have. And Maureen and Lindy were going to make the whole retreat. I wasn't going to get there till Saturday, But I went over Friday afternoon. It was a nice afternoon. Hard to believe with that snow we got yesterday. But Friday afternoon, it was about 60 degrees. And sitting in Maureen's driveway with her father, Deacon John Thompson, indulging in a cigar and talking about all things spiritual. And Lindy came in with her husband. She was going to ride out to the retreat house with Maureen. And so Lindy's husband, Michael, was dropping her off. And he got out of the car, and Lindy brought him over and introduced him to me. And his name was Mike Greenhall. And I didn't think anything of it at the time. And Deacon John and I were conversing in the driveway. And a little while later, Lindy came out and asked, you know, she said, Michael, her husband, he says he knows you from somewhere. And asked me where I grew up, and I said Orland, and he had grown up in Glenside. They asked me where I went to high school. We went to the same high school, but he was a year older than I was, and I didn't know him from there. And then didn't think of anything of it or any more of it at that time. And then Maureen and Lindy had left to drive to Malvern, and while they're driving, I get a text message from Lindy, and her husband realized where he knew me from. The text message said that Ken's father, my father, was the coach of the baseball team. Kenny played second base, and Mike played shortstop, and he pitched. And when we played ball together, I was 11, he was 12. So it's over 50 years ago, and Mike's got a great memory. I thought, you know, is that odd or is that God? I've known Lindy now for a couple of years, but I had never met Mike, and here we had played on the same ball team when we were younger. The more interesting part of that was I got home later in the afternoon, and I called my 88-year-old father down in Florida and asked him the name Mike Greenhall meant anything to him. And my father, who sometimes doesn't remember what he had for breakfast, said right away, sure, he played shortstop for us. And, really, odd or God, I say all the time that, God continues to connect the dots and the people that come in and out of our lives. And I was even sharing with a new friend, came to Calix last week, and we got together yesterday for a cup of coffee before Calix, and I said the same thing to him, that God just seems to be, at least in my life, constantly connecting the dots. And it's been going on for a few years now, maybe even as long as 30 years. There's some people that, God's put in my life, my wife, my kids, some people from 12-step programs, people from church, whatever it is that, God found a way to put them in my life. And some have stayed for a very short period of time. It could have been one encounter, and yet they left an impression on me. Others have stuck around for months or years or even decades. And, God just continues time and time again to connect the dots. And, looking back, the fact that 50 years ago, Mike and I played ball together, and I guess I haven't changed that much. If he looked at me and said he knew me from somewhere, but the fact that God has brought us back together, not necessarily brought us back together, but brought in that instant, and brought back a lot of memories, happy memories as a kid, playing ball, won a couple championships, and it was just a whole different life then, a whole different world then. 50 years ago, some people older than I am, say it, that things started to change even before then. But, the world today is just insane compared to, what it was like when I was coming up. And I'm sure for many of our listeners, you feel the same way. And, the church in all its wisdom, and of course that wisdom comes from God, every year we have this cycle of liturgies that continue to try and draw us closer and closer to God. And, you know, probably the two best known, of course, will be Advent and Lent. And, you know, both are extended periods of time where we're building a desire in for our Lord. One in at Advent, we're looking forward to Christmas and how Christ came into history as a human being, like one of us, and spent 33 years walking around this planet and experiencing a lot of the same things that we experience today. You know, the love and not so loved, the difficulties, the pains, the sufferings, all those different things, and Jesus Christ was willing to come into this world and experience every one of them. And I often think that maybe the hardest part for him would be in the incarnation, and he would spend 9 months in his mother's womb. I get stir crazy if I have to stay in the same position, like on an airplane. I've had the good fortune to fly to Europe a couple of times, probably the longest flights I've been on. And, you know, to be confined to that chair, that one seat, and get up and certainly use the restrooms or whatever, but it's not like you're going to get up and really move around a lot. And to be confined in that one space for that extended period, and to think that Jesus Christ was willing to confine himself to his mother's womb for 9 months, it's kind of hard to wrap your head around. But then we come to the Lenten season, and again, it's an anticipation. And this time it's not of Christ coming into his humanity, but looking forward to his resurrection. And brothers and sisters, that's what gives meaning to our lives as Christians. If it weren't for the resurrection, a lot of what we do and practice and think and really most of what we do in life would not make any sense. You know, if we were to think that, you know, we were going to spend our time on this planet, and when that time was up, it was up, and we wouldn't exist anymore in any form whatsoever, it would certainly be every man for himself. And, let's see what we can get out of this life, because it's not going to go on forever. And unfortunately, there's still today a lot of people that live that way. You know, we used to joke in my house, you know, whoever dies with the most toys wins. And, and that's the way it would be if it weren't for the resurrection. And so over the next 47 days, I guess it is, total, if you include Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday, these next 47 days is going to give us plenty of time to think about, you know, where we are and, you know, what we're doing with our lives. And are we really focused on heaven? Do we think about on a regular basis those last four things, heaven, hell, death, and judgment? And they're coming for each and every one of us. And I think the beauty of being Catholic, of being Christian, of having a Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ, and knowing what he taught us and why he came in those 3 years in his public ministry, that he talked about the kingdom more than anything else. And that kingdom's coming. We talk with some of the guests on the last Wednesday of the month, in particular with the Gift of the Divine Will, but in the past with Christine Watkins or Daniel O'Connor, you know, that heavenly kingdom may be coming to earth, maybe coming in our lifetime, who knows, but we need to be ready for it. And so we have this time set aside for us for these next 46 plus days to not only prepare for Easter, but prepare for our eternal life. And there's plenty we can do now. Father and I have talked, like I said, I think it's 9 years next month that we've been doing this show together, and how many times we've talked about heaven and preparing for it now, and the examples that we've given as to, you know, what we can do to prepare for it. And even if we're not, you know, completely prepared, if we're not 100% purged of all the things that are not of God, when he comes calling for us at our death, that we still have the gift of purgatory in order to work that out. But, you know, why shoot for purgatory? You know, let's, you know, shoot for heaven. There's no reason why we can't do that now. And, you know, heard all different things on purgatory. We've had guests on the show that have talked about purgatory from their own perspective, from the saint's perspective, you know, and Father McKay as well, you know, talking about, you know, it's not that fire we're not, can't envision his parents popping around in a frying pan and having the last of the not ungodly things in them burn out of them. But I think that once we get to meet God and we see how much he has loved us for all of our lives, no matter how long they've been, despite all the things that we've done, that he still loves us, that the idea that we're going to be separated from him for some period of time, for the purgation to take place, I think that that's where we're going to be set on fire, that we're going to feel like we're on fire because we're going to miss him that much. And if we don't get there, again, as I've learned from Father McKay all these years that I've known him, going on 15 now, and, you know, if we don't get there, it's nobody's fault but our own. You know, we have all the saints that have come. We have, you know, church other than the couple or the year, I guess, with COVID, where somehow or other our churches got shut down. Hopefully that's never going to happen again, even if the powers that be may want it to happen. But, you know, with the gift of church and good priests and the sacraments and all that the church has to offer us, there's no excuse for us to not find our way to heaven. So thinking that we may be back online, maybe, maybe not. I think our internet is still down here in the studio. So like I said, I'm just going to keep on rolling as if things never went down. I did get a text from my daughter. I asked her to chime in or to listen in. I give the grandkids a shout out for Valentine's Day, but I think she's saying that there's music playing over there. So we'll keep going, and you know, I think the recording happens in house here. So even if the show's not going out over the air or over the internet, that you'll be able to you're probably listening to this as a recording right now. Like we said, today is Ash Wednesday. It's also Valentine's Day, February the 14th. And, you know, traditional here in the United States and a number of other countries. And, you know, this idea that this is when we would send Valentine's cards, even starting at a very young age, kindergarten, first grade, mom would go to the store and, you know, pick up the box of Valentine cards for us, and we'd be writing them out for each kid in the class, and, you know, will you be my Valentine, and this and that. And really has no root, I think, in St. Valentine. I was reading in Butler's today, which is probably one of the best sources, I think, on the lives of the saints. And as far as all the saints go, and when it was written, when Butler wrote it a couple of years ago, and that in looking at St. Valentine, that there's a thought that maybe there were two that were living around the same time. It could also be stories about the same guy. St. Valentine would be martyred in the year around the year 249, I believe, and his feast day would be on February the 14th. There was initially supposedly a church or basilica that was built over where he died. There would be processions. There was a gate that was named for him, and but the idea of this passing of cards and seeking out a Valentine, some thought had to do with a pagan holiday that took place on February the 15th. And we know a lot of times in our Catholic faith, in our liturgical calendar, the church would insert Catholic feasts either on or right around the feast days of some of the pagan cultures that were around them in order to kind of win people over to the faith. And so St. Valentine's feast day was on February the 14th. And from what I was reading, that around the time of Chaucer, right, the great author, that there was references made to St. Valentine's Day being the day that the birds would begin the mating season, that they would be going around and seeking their mates. Around the same time, there were letters going back and forth between a particular two particular families where they were trying to matchmake their daughter and son. And again, in those letters made reference to St. Valentine's Day. So, you know, I always find it interesting as to, you know, why is it that we do some of the things that we do? Where's the origin in them? And so with Valentine's Day, I'm still not sure where the whole idea of Cupid came from. Probably came around before Hallmark was in business. But, you know, the idea of being shot through by an arrow, and Father McKay would probably be able to comment better. But, you know, we know that one of his favorites, St. Teresa of Avila, of course, had the arrow plunged into her heart and, you know, set on fire for God. And a lot of the images that we see of Teresa Avila include that that image, that arrow that was plunged into her heart. And, you know, the idea that we can shoot an arrow, we can, you know, find our way to our mate, maybe to our soulmate through, you know, various forms of shooting our own arrows, whether it's giving a card, inviting out to coffee or a dinner, you know, whatever it is that we do in order to better get to know folks and, you know, eventually maybe meet our mate. I'm not sure how many people. I know a number of people have probably gotten married on Valentine's Day. The other thing that I thought interesting and, you know, in the idea of love and marriage was that, you know, in our Catholic faith, that during Lent, a lot of times a couple of the sacraments are suspended, right? As far as I recall, we don't do baptisms at my parish, and they also frown upon people getting married during Lent. And what I was learned in my reading over the last couple of days is one of the traditions was that marital relations wouldn't take place during Lent. It would be another form of fasting. And because of that, the church would not marry people because, you know, part of that marriage would be the conjugal act following marriage that would kind of seal the deal, I guess, for lack of better words. But so because of that, and because we were supposed to be fasting from those marital relations from Ash Wednesday until Easter, is why the church would frown upon people getting married during the Lenten season. So, again, it looks like old Red Legs is maybe having his way with us today. Somehow or other managed to take down our internet, although it looks like on my laptop the internet's back up when here in the office. I'm not sure if we're connected to TMR or not. I know a little while ago, like I said before, my daughter had sent me a text message saying she was trying to tune in but just getting music. So be interested. You know, it's a shame. I know that although the phones did pop up for a minute, the phones were down. But always interested to hear what it is that other people are doing during this Lenten season. I know we had our Calyx meeting last night, and people were sharing about the different things that they have done, and our engineer Patrick was talking about how it was Lent a couple of years ago where he made a decision to start going to Mass every day, and even after Easter came, continued that practice. And I think that that's a wonderful thing. I've been trying to make daily Mass for quite a while now. And, I'm in a situation now where it's a lot easier. But to be able to get to Mass every day and receive the Blessed Sacrament every day is a gift. And the more that we do that, the more that we participate in the sacraments of our one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, I can't help but to help us grow closer to God. And so these Lenten practices that we take on for the 40 plus days that Lent takes place, hopefully it carries over into life after that. That whatever the little practices that we do, like there's no reason why we can't continue to fast all the time. I was part of an Exodus 90 group for a short time, and the guys that I was doing that with were fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays, practice that a lot of people continue to carry on, whether it's Lent or not. And, Father McKay has mentioned to me more than once about the impact that he saw fasting have on me when I was really at it, and on the trying to do it on Wednesdays and Fridays and doing a bread and water fast. And that was like an honor of God. I had a guest on the radio, and I think his business has since gone out of business. He was up in New England and was a baker, and realized that bread has zero nutritional value. And Father McKay's he's not on the phone, and I don't know if he's listening or not, but he loves to feed the birds. We get the day-old bread from the diner, and he'll feed the birds. But that bread that we get, almost all the bread that's out there has zero nutritional value. And it can make it hard to fast because we need some nutrition. And there was a baker up in New England that was making fasting rolls, and you could buy them, I think it was a bag of two or three dozen, and they would come, and you throw them in the freezer. And then I would pull out a couple of them on Wednesdays and Fridays and thaw them out, heat them up, and that was it on Wednesdays and Fridays. And you come to tame those instincts that we have. And when we can tame the bodily needs that we have for food, we can tame a whole lot of other needs at the same time. It just overflows into everything that we do in life, much like the sacraments, the sacraments of confession and Holy Communion. It's not just the act where that's important. It's how it impacts the rest of our lives and, what we do day in and day out. And if we make daily Mass the center of our life, it's going to have an impact on everything that we do. If we make going to confession on a regular basis, that too is going to affect everything that we do. I think old Red Legs is having his way with us this afternoon for a little bit, which is all right. And Patrick, relax, pal. It'll take care of itself one way or the other. But we are coming up on what would be the end of the first hour in Saints and Sinners, and are getting ready for the second hour normally. And was hoping to have Mike Norton with us and talking about the retreat house. So I'm going to take a short break here. We'll see where things are, and be back in a little bit. Don't go away.